pay the bills. Yeah, it's the bottom of my page says here it could be at the top of yours. Right, that's where we are at the moment. Is that, do we agree? Fine, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. This whole chapter deals with collecting societies. It starts on page 30 and it goes on up until page 34 of the bill. This whole chapter is flagged for a number of reasons. Number one, we are talking about both registration and accreditation of collecting societies. DGI indicated that these collecting societies are already registered by the CIPC. So what the committee said is we need to talk to the CIPC, understand this, so it is flagged. The other big thing that this chapter brings in, and this goes over onto the next page of the matrix, is the fact that this bill provides for one collecting society per right. And there has been a number of concerns about that. Some of the concerns was, how does this provide for transformation? If your existing collecting society is 100% white owned, how do you in that same right get someone to get a collecting society who has 100% black ownership? And even the fact that it is a 5-year license almost that is given, this is something that it is not something that is a quick set up by government. It is a company that is organic, that grows, because some of the comments were even that there were lots of tiny collecting societies which then went under. So there is this competitive nature of the thing. So members were a bit concerned about limiting it to one collecting society per right. And the other issue that is flagged was referring disputes to the tribunal. So it was just a quick comment. There wasn't necessarily a lot of discussion around that. So I've just noted it as the dispute should be referred to the tribunal. So this whole chapter, like I say, is flagged. I'm not going to go into more detail. It is not so much the specific tiny details. It is the bigger questions around this chapter that is flagged. The one society per right, how do we deal with disputes, and then what is the requirement, registration, accreditation. The next clause, clause 26.
Honourable Mann.
Before we pass on to that, I just want to check the wisdom of Advocate Sandra Merwe. If we're talking about these collecting societies, how do we ensure that there's fair representation in the manner in which they are constituted? How can we do it? Because we can't just let it be a free for all. Like if, in fact, I want the reason why I say so. I know currently there are black collecting societies. I'm not saying white people cannot, but we must also guard against going back to where we were, because we're trying to say to put a safe net for non-exploitation of our people. Now, how do we ensure that these collecting societies comply with the BBBEE regulation? How can we ensure that as we go forward, we ensure that our legislation is taken care of?
Can I allow the DTI to come in first, because you mentioned the BBBEE, Dr. Masocha?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Member. I think that with accreditation, we will have to make sure that the criteria of the areas to consider are strengthened. For instance, the issue of BBBEE must come in when in the licensing phase where we do the accreditation. BE is very important, and you are right, Honourable Member, the transformation of our market must be taken into serious consideration. And right now, with the collecting societies, we don't have many of them in the market, but then there are ways that we can ensure going forward there is a lot of inclusiveness and empowering the existing ones that are not doing as well as they could be doing. So in the accreditation process and with the criteria that we should come up with around how they will be managed, we can strengthen those areas.
Just on the triple B, double E, it's a pity one doesn't have all one's facts and figures in your head. But I know that the principle of the triple B, double E that was that under X amount of turnover, you were not subject. Now, I can't remember what that was. I don't know if Ms. Madalani does. What? Ms. Madalani, our researcher, said she'll have a check, but I know that if it was under this figure, let us just say a 10 million rand threshold or 20, then you were exempt. Now, I don't know what these collecting agencies, as a rule, what their turnover is. I've no idea. Does anyone? Yes, Dr. Masocha?
Chair, these are supposed to be non-profit organizations. They are collecting for members. They're not meant to be making profits, where they make profits and then they benefit from the money. They're there to ensure that there's collection and there's fair transfer of royalties for their members. That they're NPOs.
For me, it doesn't matter whether they're non-profit making, but we must lift our society, and there must be no ring-fenced profession where it is meant for a certain race. We want every society to have, to every race to be representative or to be represented in the sector, in all sectors. That's my biggest worry. Chair, I'm raising this because we had established black industrialists.
Yeah.
You see? But those black industrialists are not being serviced well by our own state-owned enterprises. And they have been left to do that for quite some time now. So that's why I'm flagging this, Chairperson. We established black industrialists. State-owned enterprises do not give them business. They import goods. Yet there are people who manufacture the parts that they need. So we must be vigilant from now on, because we know that at some point, officials in departments and in state-owned enterprises, they undermine our legislation and do as they please. So it means there's no reason for us to legislate.
Yes. Now, I hear what you're saying, but these are not-for-profit NPOs, although I ask myself, isn't government not-for-profit?
No.
Government is not-for-profit, and yet we find not all our departments and spheres are observing the principles of triple B, double E. I raise that because government is not-for-profit. Honourable
Kacharia. Sorry, Chair, I fail to understand what the Honourable Member's interjection was about, because this is around copyright bill.
Yeah.
And these non-profit organisations, we are looking at very carefully to see that they are properly regulated and that they serve. They are not governed along racial lines, they govern along industry lines. They deal with musicians, or they deal with artists, or they deal with whatever the case may be. And we try to make sure that that's responsible. It's got nothing to do with race or with SOEs or with government or anything of the sort. It's just, I think we must restrict ourselves to the issues of copyright here.
Yes. The only thing that arose, if I may say so before you come in, Honourable Mantosh, is that in the public hearings, the artists themselves raised the issue that the collecting agencies were not fairly distributing this and not collecting, you know. So they did raise concerns, and they were only concerned about X and Y. But all of us have those public hearings, and we can look back. So let me put it that way. Let us go back to that and hear what the artists themselves was saying, which puzzled us at the time, I must say. So, but let us move on then. It's Advocate van der Merwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. The next clause is clause 26.
Clause 36 is on page 34 of the bill. This amends section 23 of the Act and deals with infringement. There are no outstanding issues here. So there's no amendments, no requirement for anything to currently be discussed there. The next clause, clause 27, amends section 27 and it deals with penalties and proceedings in respect of dealings which infringe copyright. That's on page 35 of the bill. This issue is flagged. I must be honest, it might be that it's not flagged, but the way I understood this, the slides, the presentation from DTI, is that because it deals with technological protection measures, is that we must just give careful consideration to how it is worded, to what we are trying to achieve with this, because although technological protection measures prevent abuses of copyrighted works, digital abuses of copyrighted works, on the other hand, they clash with your use of exceptions and limitations. So it is something that we just need to be very careful about. So it is possible that the way it's worded is correct, that there is no problem in the bill, but because of the way DTI raised that concern, I thought rather let it be shown as flagged, and then the committee can just consider and confirm that the bill is correct or that there needs to be some changes made. Clause 28 is on page 36 of the bill, and it amends section 28, which provides for provision for restricting importation of copies. There is nothing outstanding there, so there's no amendments required. Clause 29, which starts on page 36 in the middle, and it inserts section 28O, P, Q, R, and S. These deal with prohibited conduct in respect of technological protection measures, 28O, over on the next page of the matrix. Exceptions in respect of technological protection measure, P, enforcement by the commission, 28Q, prohibited conduct in respect of copyright management information, 28R, and 28S, exceptions in respect of copyright management information. Now, I'm saying here that there's no amendments required, but of course all of these speak to this concern raised about technological protection measures.
Yes.
So once all of that is considered, it might then affect any of these 28O, P, Q, R, and S, depending on what the decision is there. But on the sections themselves, there is no outstanding issues. Clause 30 just amends a heading of Chapter 3, which is on page 39 of the bill. Now, there is a proposal from DTI that the tribunal should not be an intellectual property tribunal, but a copyright tribunal. And whatever the decision is on that, the next clause will affect whatever the heading is called. So if we go back to copyright tribunal, then clause 30 will fall away because currently the Act reads copyright tribunal. That is what we retain, then this clause will fall away. So that is why it is flagged. And then talking about that clause 31, section 29, which then talks to the establishment of an intellectual property tribunal. DTI is indicating that perhaps there should not be an intellectual property tribunal, but rather the copyright tribunal should be strengthened. What they are saying is, should the tribunal continue on the next page of the matrix under the umbrella of CIPC, then this clause and the related clauses, of course, will have to be removed. My note there is just to say, depending on what we amend, what is inserted or taken out, there may be a requirement for advertising to call for comments. If we are retaining what is in the Act at the moment, then there's no need because it is similar to rejecting a clause. But if we are changing the structure, then there may be a need. DTI was then saying what should really be done here is actually just to propose, they're proposing the widening of the powers of the tribunal to empower the commissioner more. So depending on what we do there, that is what then may require some advertising. DTI also indicated that they will confirm if there's any amendment required to the Patents Act.
Oh, yes.
If we have to amend the Patents Act, Just to alert the committee, this may require permission from the House because it will go much broader than the bill, and of course advertising as well. Then the next couple of...
can you just explain the reason to it for the patent, the patents themselves? For those, you know, some of us have been through patents, but most members haven't.
The concern is specifically in respect of the tribunal. So if there is some clash in respect of the tribunal under the Patents Act and the tribunal that we are establishing here, then there may be a need for,
Yes, Honourable Manta.
I'm sorry to take a bit aback. In the previous Section 29, I would request that we go with the proposal from DTI to widen the powers of the commissioner, because establishing too many bodies.
The point was consistent. All right,
Honourable Mantash, it's been flagged.
Okay.
So, as we are coming back to order the flag, let's raise it there. Can we agree on that?
Okay.
All right. Do proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Then the next sections are all related to this tribunal question. So 29A to 29E on the one page, paging over on the matrix 29F to 29P, all related to that. The one thing, clause 32, section 29P, P is on page 47 of the bill. There was a proposal from Arts and Culture about cost of the tribunal for indigent to look at legal aid. I think in this regard we'll have to, the committee will have to consult with Justice, because legal aid is something that runs with Justice. It's possible that it's already possible for legal aid to work for a tribunal. But I'm not 100% sure, but I think that is something that we can ask perhaps even the Legal Aid Board to come and assist the committee with on that. But that is an issue that is flagged there. The next page of the matrix, then 29Q to 29S, it's the same issue, the tribunal, the same with Clause 33, which repeals certain sections in the Act. Those provisions deal with the existing copyright tribunal. So all of these issues, the new sections and the repeal, will have to be discussed when we consider whether to retain the copyright tribunal and strengthen the powers, or whether we actually establish a new tribunal. So that is where all of those are. It is, ma'am, it's a big discussion point, but the actual impact on the bill is quite small. It's either we take the one out and we leave the Act as it is, or we just leave it as it is currently, because there is proper provision. On the actual sections that are being inserted themselves, there was very little, there was one submission that mentioned something about the tribunal sections. So the sections themselves are not contentious. There's no issues about them. It is just a bigger question of which, do we do a new or do we keep the one that is there? Clause 34, the next clause, is on page 49 of the bill. This deals with regulations. So it just adds more things that the minister can make regulations on. There's no outstanding issues on this and no amendments required. Clause 35 on page 50 of the bill deals with unenforceable contractual terms. The thing that we have here is that especially a vulnerable party, your author, for instance, contracts because he or she wants their work to be published. Turns out that the contract takes away all the rights that the Act allows. So what this Clause 35 says is that if you have contracted yourself out of the rights that the Act gives you, those terms are unenforceable. So it can be almost a gentleman's agreement in the sense of, I'm a very famous author, I have more than enough money, I am giving my work to someone to exploit and give it to whoever they want to. It's unenforceable, but I can, gentleman agreement, say it's fine, go ahead, you are happy to do it. But if I'm a vulnerable author, someone who contracted like that without knowing, then it cannot be enforced against me, and I can then stand on my rights in terms of the Act. So that is what this clause does. But what we then allow is we allow for two exceptions. The one is a settlement agreement, and the other is a service license. The concern that I have with this is that if we say we are protecting a vulnerable party in respect of a contract, but then we say, you, the vulnerable party, cannot ever reach a settlement agreement. To me, that's exactly the same situation. In other words, I am saying as vulnerable author, you have said that I don't have the right to... I've contracted out of my moral rights. Let's say that, for instance. Yeah. Now, you have done something to my work, and I say, no, this is unacceptable. Then we go to court, and I'm saying that you can't use this adaptation of my work because this is totally, it makes a mockery of who I am. It affects my reputation. And now we're in this court process. I run out of money. Now we quickly settle. You say you're going to give me 10,000 rand extra, and I settle with you. And again, I give away my moral rights. So my concern is just I understand why settlement is in there, because it's after the dispute, we've now again come to an agreement. My concern is just that your vulnerable person is still vulnerable, and a settlement is still an agreement, and they can still be pressurized into something. So it's just something to consider there. And then also a service license, the terms of a service license. So this is perhaps something when we discuss the actual issues that DJI need to maybe just say a little bit more about, but I'm also worried about how can a license take the rights away from the Act that the Act gives me. So that is why this issue is flagged. So just for those, and the reason I've just explained it is I know the DGI has asked me, just they don't understand what my concern is. So that is just why I'm explaining my concern a little bit more in detail. The next clause, 36. Clause 36 inserts a Schedule 2 and a Part A and a Part B. Part A starts on page 50 and Part B on page 54.
Yeah.
These issues are more technical issues. There are questions about the correct phrase to use. For instance, item 2, 3A, application for a license. 2, 3A is on page 51. The bill as introduced spoke about specified language, but we don't define that. So the question is, should it not rather be a matter of an official language of the Republic versus a foreign language, which is in regular use in the Republic? So that is just flagged. It's more just to understand what exactly is meant by the wording in the bill. So that is why that is flagged. The next one, 4.2a, the scope and conditions. The same issue about language. On the bottom of that page, item 4.5, speaking to such use. So we would say, as a condition of maintaining the license, the translation must be correct for such use. So the question just is, what is such use? Is it, you know, what? So it's just for vagueness. Item 5.1a, which is the country that we have here. The bullet introduced talks about the translation must be in terms of the laws of the country. But the question is, in which country? Is it the Republic? What do we mean by that? So that is just flagged there. Clause 36, Part B, so on page 54, DGI in this slide indicated that certain provisions must be deleted from the bill. But from this slide, it wasn't clear which are those provisions. So that is why it is indicated as flagged, so that we can just, so the DGI can explain to the committee which are the provisions that have to be deleted and why, so that the committee can consider whether they agree that it should be deleted. Then item 31A, 31A is on page 55 of the bill. And this one and item four speaks about systematic instructional activities. And this is perhaps something that we should define, so that is just why that one is flagged. 4.2c, the clause is simply a little bit vague, and I think we need to understand, if once the committee understands what it is about, then we can make sure that the wording is correct. What 4.2c at the moment says is, if the tribunal is satisfied that you don't have a facility in the Republic, to do printing or reproduction, they can give you a license to do the work outside of the Republic. But the person who gets the license may not give that work to an establishment created to reproduce copies of work in respect of which a license has already been granted. So it is a bit vague. It's not clear what is meant by, are we saying you can't subcontract? Are we saying you can't give the work to someone who's already reproducing another book? What would be the rationale behind that? Can't they just come and apply for their own licensing? You know, so those kind of questions just came up there.
Let me just check on something, Advocate. And before I ask this question, you referred to DTI a number of times that they're going to come back to us on certain things. And when we go through the flagged issues, we would need to get some kind of timeline on when we'd be getting this back. Is it going to be today or tomorrow? All right, but just on this issue, I mean, this is quite frequent today where publishers get works printed outside of their own country. Now, that happens a great deal. Even look at the textbooks we are purchasing in our own country. You will see it's published X in London or whatever, printed in China or Japan or somewhere else. It's not the same country, you see. Yeah, so I'm just wondering, is that what we're talking about? You publish, it's your copy, or you're the copyright owner, it's published by another country. Someone in South Africa gets something published overseas. That overseas company gets it printed by a third country. How does that all work? So you've got three countries, maybe four involved.
You want to tackle it now or when
we do flagged?
Okay, perhaps we do flagged, and I will ask that maybe this is something that the DTI can respond to because it is a very practical application of the bill.
All right, do continue.
Thank you, Chair. The next clause, clause 37, is on page 58. And what we're simply doing here is to change the words cinematographic film wherever it appears with the expression audiovisual work. It is just a more recent terminology used. So there's no amendments required. But when this bill is referred to the technical panel in the end for the correctness of terminology and so on, I'm just making a note that the technical panel, this is one of the things they need to confirm, that the way this is drafted, that we actually do apply it correctly in respect of the definitions and the specific sections. So that is more a technical issue. Clause 38 is the transitional provision. It is flagged because we are looking at the issue of indigenous community, cultural expression, and whether it should be science and technology institutions or the IP Laws Amendment Act institutions. And that is the last, because the last clause is just a short title and the commencement, and there's also no issues on that. Chair, that is the matrix. That is everything on the matrix. Thank you.
Thank you very much. One moment. Right, now members, where we are at the moment, we've just refreshed our memories in many ways on what has gone before, heard also from Advocate van der Merwe the updates, etc. But what we haven't done is tackle the flagged issues. Do we agree?
Yeah.
And there are a number, some of them are separate issues. And then there is a whole series where there may be 7 or 8, the tribunal, just an example, where it's all on tribunal, you know, and we need to first take the principle, the decision on the principle. Will there even be this other tribunal or not? Because depending on the principle, we will be able to address many of the other issues. So as long as we're all on the same page, and we all recall that the advocate indicated now that there was a need for DTI also to come in quite extensively. And what we have asked DTI to do is when that does happen, and you were asked to come back, give us some kind of timeline on when we can expect a response, informed response. Are we all in agreement with that approach? So all that we're doing at this moment, if we're all in agreement, is only tackling the flagged issues. All right? I also want to point out, members, that where there is a particular flagged issue that we really find it challenging to agree on, let us not spend an hour. Let us accept that we haven't been able to reach an agreement or consensus, move on to the next until we've reached the end, and then come back to the very challenging flagged issues. Do we agree? Right. So on that basis then, following both the Act as well as the Matrix, we come, as far as I can see, and I'm just going page by page now, clause 4 page, on turning over the matrix to clause 4, and the one where it did say no amendments required was clause 4, section 6 there, which was page 6 of the Act or the Bill. We then moved on, and we get the first flag right at the top of the matrix on the third page there, dealing with clause 5, section 6A, page 6, as far as I can see, of the bill. Is that right? Yeah.
There's one on the first page of the matrix, clause 3, section 5.
Oh, yes, quite right. I didn't
highlight that. My apologies to all members. The flagged one then, clause 3, section 5. Flagged whole clause and issue of the state's work being commercially exploited by researchers. You're all familiar with that then? I think we need to hear from the different members shortly. Let's not preface these issues, but come immediately to the point. And one doesn't want to cut short anyone's point, but let's try and make it in 2 minutes max. Now, this was flagged for some reason, but yet I don't see a hand being raised. Honourable MacPherson, Honourable Esterhazen, you had your... Okay, Honourable MacPherson, followed by the Honourable Esterhazen and Honourable Khadebi.
Thank you very much. Would the I see that you say funded by or under the direct or control of the state. Would you classify the SABC in this? Because as far as I understand, something like the SABC is not under direct control of the state. It has a stakeholder. The state is a stakeholder of the SABC, but is not under direct control. So would the SABC fall into this? Because if you had kept the words funded by, because the SABC is funded by, then I would believe that this would be applicable to it. And I think further down the line, there are a lot of copyright issues that exist within the SABC around archives, around projects that are funded, And so I would just like to know how an organization like that fits into this section.
Thank you, Honourable MacPherson.
Honourable Esther Hazen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I'm not sure if this is flagged. I just want a little clarity on one or two. On the very first clause 3, section 5, where it says the concern was raised by the DS, pardon, arts and culture that works under by the state have been commercially exploited. I also, the object here, I'm sure, the state's object is to protect artists and creators, but we must also be objective that copyright has never been maximized for private profit. We seek to reward creators for creativity, and we must look at it in that way as well. In clause 5, the very next one, the portion of the royalties. What happens to people like lectors and things that copyright ownership for works that might under control of the state? Sorry, I'm just posing, Madam Chair. I've got one or two.
On the one issue, isn't it?
Yes, just on that issue.
Shall we move on
and we come back to you then?
Okay.
Yes? Honourable Hadebe?
Chairperson, what must happen here is that the work kept by the state or owned by the state must be protected from being commercially exploited. Because once it goes in that terrain, it means certain individuals are going to benefit. You can go speak about the archives which we are having as a state. It will be very bad that you take those archives and then they go straight to a movie, and in that movie, those guys get earn billions of dollars out of that, and the state accrues nothing, whereas it might have been anchored around that. But when coming to other institutions, just like the SABC, ESCOM, whatever it might be, they fall under the Companies Act. They are companies. Although they are state-owned, they are state-funded, but they are companies. So the Companies Act must work. They must protect their staff because they are a company.
Yeah.
The state there is correct. The state is a shareholder. Is not basically directing its day-to-day activities. But, Chair, this thing again, I could not get the explanation why the companies and intellectual property commissions, they are not here. Because even if they are not here, because we raised these issues last week, that we need them here. Because some of these things, they have to explain themselves. There's no one who's going to explain this thing, because this issue of protection, this issue of what the Honourable MacPherson has raised, SABC, it is a state company. So it is a state. It is a company which belongs to the state. So this issue of the rights, where will it fall into? That's why the issue of explanation, I didn't get the explanation why they are not here. Because you must be having a very, very valid reason why they are not here. Because we made that appeal last week.
The reason, as I read out, I'm not sure which member of staff received the written apology or email, was that they were writing examinations or they were, you know, they were addressing the examinations. Who got this apology?
Ms. Naidu,
did you get the apology? Or who got the apology? From CIPC. That's what I'm asking.
Chair, they did apologize to us, and then the commissioner also confirmed about their unavailability because of the exams. So they are not available because of that.
Right. So that's all that's written here.
We're not sure how long these exams will last. That is the concern of the committee. Do you know something about the CIPC, Honourable Tiako? Yes?
No, Chair, I don't know anything about the CIPC.
Like
but, okay. I just have I want to raise a concern based on this decision that we're taking against the CIPC.
Right,
because
it looks
like
they've taken a decision. You see, because I'm just coming in and once told they are at examinations. So if no one else can cast any light on the matter, it won't be the first time we've received an apology on the basis of examinations. Therefore, we must clarify that before we take a decision. It would not be healthy for us to take the decision when we learn that the CEO is taking an exam and the deputy. I don't know. So let's leave that decision till tomorrow and ask the DDG, Dr. Masocha, to clarify that if she can at midday and come back to us, if you can. Okay, so there's no decision made right now, except that it's not very helpful when they're not here. We do need them here. Yes, Honourable Hodebi, and I know I saw your hand, Honourable Kachalia. The Honourable Yesterhazen, I said we would come back to, and then we have the Honourable Mantash.
Chairperson, I would have accepted the apology if it did indicate when they can be available. Because what happens too is that there is no, you know, the CRPC, the formal organization, it cannot, because of two people or three people are off, then the entire organization grinds to a halt. Then there'll be something wrong with that. So, but the issue, Chair, the first one is the issue, when will they be available? Because we've got time frames here, which are very difficult to maintain. Because if they were here, we'll have cleared a lot of things here in this bill. When are they coming back? How can a formal organization be grounded to a halt by, because it definitely is not possible that all of us in the portfolio committee can be writing an examination on a particular day.
No, it's not acceptable, and we certainly need to register that in the first place, that for an entire division or an entire entity not to be made, to find someone who wasn't writing that exam to be available, that becomes a problem. Also, when the apology is given, it becomes important that we learn when they are available. This is a piece of legislation. We have deadlines. It's a very challenging time of the year and of this term in Parliament. So we've registered our concern, and let us allow the chairperson of the subcommittee to have the last word on this matter.
Chair, if for whatever reason they are giving us to say they are sick, they are writing an exam, and we just have to get a response in writing, because we need answers. If the DDG can just explain to them, we need answers, you can just send them the questions. You will present them on their behalf. Please, we need answers. I think by chair will decide by when, but we really need answers in their absence.
Yes, legislation, it's the equivalent of attending a court case and having the temerity to send an apology that you're writing exams. I know the few court cases I have attended, not in my own right, it has not been accepted. So let us leave it there for the moment, because we're in limbo. All right, but I thank you for your suggestion and proposal, Honourable Tiako. We were back with you, Honourable Kachalia.
Thank you, Chair. On the matter of the state and the funding issue. The state is, in this regard, often a catalyst and an assister to the arts and innovation in general. And that is its role, and it's entirely noble. However, for the state to claim blanket ownership is entirely problematic for me, because the state it invests, if you like, in inverted commas, in these various endeavors on the basis of grants, of bursaries, of equity, of a host of donations, through secondary elements like the lottery, etc., etc., etc. To claim ownership, even in a first tranche area, or even in see-through like lotteries and the like, is entirely problematic, and again goes against something I raise constantly. If there is a problem And it needs to be addressed in the first instance by reference to the contract that is entered into. That will govern what happens thereafter. In the absence of a contract, you can't say the state owns it. It is entirely problematic if the state made a grant to me to make a film and then says they own the film, not me as the creator or the artist. I mean, this is contrary to every moral right.
Right.
Thank you.
Pertinent perhaps to that point is I noticed on the third column here, a decision was taken to remove funded by already, and that may assist all of us. So although it's flagged, if we remove funded by, now I'm just saying, you know, given that it's flagged, but there's an agreement to remove the phrase, are you still of the same opinion that your point would apply, Honourable Pacharya?
Let's examine it. It says copyright shall be conferred by the section on every work which is eligible for copyright and which is made by or under the direction or control of the state. Now, if removing funded by, I'd like to ask the advocate, is that just semantics? For me, the same thing still applies here. We said which is made by under the direction or control of the state. What does that mean? It's unclear to me. Are we taking funding out, but we allowing control and direction? It's sixpence of one and half a dozen of the other, in my view.
I do have an other hand, but I've seen yours, Honourable MacPherson. Honourable Esterhazen, Honourable Mantash, Honourable Khadebe, Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you, Jane. Advocate Honourable mentioned under Clause 14, Section 12B, on the copies made of any work, that she's taking out public information purposes. And I know that the Minister of Arts and Culture, together with the previous Minister of Arts and Culture, with 12 other countries, signed a declaration to encourage implementation of fair and balanced copyright laws to access information for all, to promote libraries and all for public information. So this is completely saying differently what the declaration that was done. Thank you, Jane.
You know, I think you've just moved us on and we want to just finalise the one issue. All right. So let's keep that point and keep it here. But let us finish the one point. Honourable Mantash.
Chairperson, on the same item, there's a concern raised by the Department of Arts and Culture. What does this mean? And I don't want us to overlook it because we are in this together.
Honourable Khadebe.
Chairperson, I think although I fancy that we can still flag this one, because the issue of the work directed and owned by the state is different. I can make an example. Let's say next week, Honourable Chairperson, you are made a deputy president of the country. Yeah. Definitely the state is going to ensure that the GCIS, the one, an entity which belongs to the state, is going to capture that moment where we are made a deputy president of the country. No, it is the state commissioning another state entity. And then it's not an individual per se. So the state must be able to protect its work along those lines. And then the issue when it is private work, as Honorable Kachara has said, yes, the issue of the contract will be crucial, but there are different levels at which the state own these materials. But then we cannot have someone in Disneyland using your face and that thing exploiting it commercially without the state benefiting.
This is a very important point, colleague. I'm just looking here and you know I rely on staff also to alert me to other things happening, and they've indicated that the advocate and the DCI wish to just come in here, but I do need to complete the hands of the members and then for you to come in. Honourable MacPherson.
Thanks. I think the Honourable Kachalia's point is well made. What exactly does under the direction or control of the state mean? Is that artistic control, artistic direction, or is it managerial direction, managerial control? Is it ownership, or is it being a stakeholder of an entity? So I when we are talking about artistic work, I would then start to assume that it would refer to artistic direction and control of a work.
Before I comment on that point, and is a thorny issue, we may well flag it again. Let us allow the advocate and DTI to come in.
Thank you, Chair Bisson. Just one, if I can just add one thing. The one thing that members have not considered yet in their comments is one of the flag issues. What the Act currently says, not the bill, the Act, so this is the current existing law, is that copyright shall be conferred by this section on every work which is eligible for copyright and which is made by or under the direction or control of the state or international organizations as may be prescribed. So that is what the Act currently says. Firstly, that just to point out, in respect of the under the direction or control of the state, that is the current existing law. How that is interpreted currently is where the state instructs a company to develop an incentive. The guideline that is developed is made under the direction of the state, and therefore the guideline, the copyright in that guideline will vest in the state. The SABC as a company, there will still be copyright ownership possible by SABC, but it will be in terms of a different section. So directional control of the state is existing law, and there is not, that I'm aware of, any concern about the state owning copyright on work that either the state has made or that is made for the state under the state's direction or control. From the public also, there were no comments that indicated that there's a concern around that. The concern was that it goes way too broad if we add the funded by, and that the committee already agreed must be removed. The one thing that was not looked at is whether we want copyright to be conferred on any international organization and any local organization. So currently the Act says state and international organizations as may be prescribed. So there's a limit. But what the bill does is open it up and says it is under the direct, it shall be conferred by the section on every work that is eligible for copyright, which is made by or under the direction or control of an international or local organization. So that broad aspect must also be considered. Then the concern about the protection, what Department of Arts and Culture has proposed is the inclusion of clear rights management. I'm hoping that that DGI can perhaps give us some wording that will allow for that clear rights management, and then that can be added to the bill. So as I'm saying, on the issue of the removing funded by, if that is sufficient, that in my view would be sufficient because that reverts us back to the law as it is at the moment.
Quick question of clarity on this, if I may. Writing directly.
I don't really enjoy that, but do go and get on.
Just in that section of, that you quoted from the original Act, say copyright shall be conferred by this section on every work which is eligible for copyright. My question is, who is this copyright being conferred to? Is it being conferred to the we've taken out funder, is it conferred then to the director or the controller, or is it conferred to whom? To the to, to, to the author, to the I'm trying to understand that because it's unclear to me as I read it.
Right. Then, do you wish to just continue then, Advocate van der Merwe, before we hand over to Ms. Mashendri?
Thank you, Chair. The copyright is it is owned by the state. So where it will come to enforcing the rights of the state, it will be done as any other enforcement is done by the state in terms of state liability. So the person who has locus standi, let's say it was the Department of Trade and Industry that instructed a guideline to be developed. That guideline is then adapted by someone else, for maybe by a bank to use in one of their works. Then it will be the Minister of Trade and Industry that will institute an action against the bank who is abusing the right.
Right. That will suffice for the moment, Ms. Mashendri.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just wanted to echo the sentiments of the advocate. She stole, not stole, but I suppose fair use. We're on the same page. I did also want to clarify for Honourable Members what the current wording is in the Act, and the addition was only the words funded by that caused this. And the current Act, the Principal Act, is working well. The reason why we added local organisations, because of the issue of fronting. A company may be seen as a local organisation, but its actual ownership or directorship is sitting internationally, if that helps clarify. Thank you.
Now, I think, let's not flog a dead horse now. I think we have addressed the matter. It may have helped us all to learn that this was in the Principal Act in the first place and that we had wanted to add in funded by this committee within the amendment. We've removed that, and that would appear to be also in line with what DAC was concerned about as well. So if we can move on then. That was the flagging I overlooked. I hope I'm not overlooking another one when we move to Honourable Khadebe.
The original input by the advocate, she said that if we're going to adopt that part or propose to introduce the rights management.
Just in the mic.
Yeah, it will need the advertisement. It must be advertised. Where was the link on that?
That if we add it.
Yeah.
But now we won't be adding it. Yeah. So that would then fall away, would it not, Advocate? We won't be having that flagged, funded by.
No.
Which one are you talking about?
If we do the clear rights management, if that is added, then that will have to be advertised, because that will be something new.
Is it the ear rights management or the clear rights?
Yeah, I think our ears
are fake. Because the text here says the ear rights.
I know, it's like my title. Yeah. So that is now, that was added by who? We proposed in, that was DAC. That was
a
proposal of DAC. Yes, Dr. Masorcha?
Chair, on that one, can we come back to you in terms of whether we say we incorporate it and the wording for it, just to create more clarity?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm putting a flag here because we've got to come back to it, all right? But only that point. We then go on to, I'm turning this over, that is the matrix, but I think I started off in the wrong place when I said at the top of the next page was flagged the issue of retrospective, which refers to Clause 5, Section 6A. Do you see that? You turn over, and I think that is also page 6. I may be wrong, but it is also on page 6, that one. Is it? Of the Act, of the Bill. So the retrospective application, and it was flagged, the issue of retrospective. Honourable Khadebe, do you recall why it was flagged? Yes.
Chairperson, the issue of flagging this aspect was the issue of, or the issue was the fundamental issue that we're having this copyright bill in front of us in order to protect those people who are already exploited. So the issue of the constitutionality of that retrospectivity was questioned. But I think that the advocate, because really I think that the trust is to protect Umahlathini and the Hotel Queens. That one is the bottom line. So the issue that the advocate has already provided a solution, that's one aspect which must be advertised.
Yeah.
We need to advertise that and come and engage with it further.
Yeah.
I think that's the bottom, but we cannot engage it now.
All right.
Yeah,
no,
just advertise
so it's going to be advertised. I'm looking at the subcommittee chair, and would you agree, Honourable Tierko?
Yes, thanks, Chair. We have consulted with the WIP and then we have agreed on this to be advertised. I'm in agreement, Chair.
Honourable Kacharya, do you have a different point of view to it being advertised?
It's not an advertising. It's on this particular clause here. Mm-hmm. I just want to be clear that the committee was in agreement, notwithstanding what I perceive as a contradiction between contractual freedom and prescription of minimum requirements, because contractual freedom should not fly, minimum requirements fly in the face of it. What I understood would, in terms of a template, there would be the flagging, if you like, in the template of areas that need to be addressed in terms of the contract. And then there is the contractual freedom to address it, to say, yes, we address it. We, in terms of this, we go this far. We sit in the middle, or we sit on this side, or we sit on that end. That's what I understood. Because otherwise, I see a potential conflict. But I just want to understand what
well,
the
maybe,
majority.
Over lunch, some of these issues will reach some positivity. I am reminded repeatedly that if we don't leave now, something about the reserved XYZ will disappear. Exactly where is this lunch?
Members, we are at the V8 old assembly, like we did last
time. The old assembly dining room?
Yes.
Dining room
dining.
Or V8?
V8.
That's not the old assembly dining room. It is V8.
You know, that's the oblong room next to the dining room. All right. Now, something about, the lunch will disappear. We will be back at 2. I think we can leave our documents here. I don't want to comment beyond documents. But I just made it clear.
Mr. Hermans was at pains to remind me that the lunch is for members of Parliament. And so I do want to apologize for those who are not members of Parliament, but I don't control the purse strings, unfortunately.
What does Russia say about our relationship with them? What does that question say?
That question says there are two questions.
There are two.
One is you pick up the currency.
Russia.
Yeah,
so I was given Russia.
Look at the
what? What do they perceive South Africa to be in their relationship? I don't know. I'll go back
paper.
And read.
That paper is...
I sent it to you.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, Mara, just double check it. Well,
I
did
it. What that I gave you. What that I sent you.
Yeah. I love what you're saying. Pick a country.